I'd like now to welcome Mark Allison. He is Executive Director of the New Mexico Wilderness Alliance, and he will be in Santa Fe this coming Sunday, the 1st of February at 11 o'clock at Collected Works Bookstore, sponsored by Journey Santa Fe. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much.
So let's talk about the New Mexico Wilderness Alliance and what it is, and in fact, what wilderness is. That's a term that has kind of a specific meaning.
Yeah, thanks again. I have such a wonderful job. I get to talk to people about something that I'm very passionate about, as many New Mexicans are. The New Mexico Wilderness Alliance is a nonprofit organization. We are statewide. We're grassroots. We have very deep ties to the communities and the land. And we are a membership organization, thousands of members strong, which really represent the foundation of our strength. And we are dedicated exclusively to land conservation and protecting wilderness on our national public lands in New Mexico. Wilderness, I think we confront a lot of times some confusion about that. People think that if they're hiking on Forest Service land, for example, that is the same thing as wilderness. When we talk about wilderness, it's with a big W. There was the 1964 Wilderness Act passed by Congress, and it is legislation, and it is the gold standard of land conservation protection. And it does take an act of Congress to protect a certain area, and what that means, though, is once it is done, it is permanently protected in perpetuity, so for our children and our children's children. And it prohibits certain activities. Anything that's motorized or mechanized is not allowed in formally designated wilderness areas. So you cannot build roads, you can't drill, you can't mine, you cannot ride motorcycles or things like that. So it is a place that is meant to be apart from the other areas where those multiple uses are allowed, where you can go to recreate, to hike, to camp, to backpack, to fish, to hunt, to horseback ride, and enjoy your time out there with the peace and quiet and the wildlife.
So in wilderness areas, they're protected from those things that you said, mechanized vehicles and drilling and so on. But what about the human impact of having, like in popular areas, let's say, a lot of people walking around?
That's a great question. It is dependent on the agency, the federal agency that manages that land. So it could be the Bureau of Land Management or it could be the Forest Service, for example, to manage that in a way that does try to safeguard the wilderness characteristics of that area. Now, we are very fortunate in New Mexico. We have some wilderness areas that are very proximate to our urban areas. So in Santa Fe, certainly, we have the Pecos, which is one of the highest utilized wilderness areas in the country. In Albuquerque, there's the backyard of the Sandias, and it's very much a part of the quality of life of those communities. And so it's really up to all of us to be good stewards to take care of that. One of the things that we do at the Wilderness Alliance is engage the community to take volunteers and members up into the wilderness areas to look for graffiti, to look for invasive species, to monitor how those areas are being managed, and to do what we can as advocates to see that they're protected.
Now, the New Mexico Wilderness Alliance is a coalition of a lot of different folks, a lot of different kinds of people. It's not only hikers and people in contemplation of nature. What kind of people are in this coalition, which is the alliance?
You know, so we are a separate nonprofit, but we work very closely with a number of different organizations, and we all have various different lenses and perspectives and motivations for caring about our national public lands. Our members do represent a great cross-section of New Mexico. We think a lot of it's just value-based, things like family and freedom and patriotism and responsibility and protecting the rights of our children to enjoy these places are really inextricably linked to our national public lands and our wilderness. And they can't be separated from our history or our culture here in New Mexico or what really makes us, in large part, the land of enchantment. One of the things that's been so gratifying working on some very successful campaigns over the last couple of years is to see the breadth and the depth of these coalitions that come together. So it's not just typical kind of environmental groups or conservation groups, but it's sportsmen, it's hunters, it's anglers, it's faith-based groups, it's academics, it's heirs of land grants, it's tribal communities. So really, when we all come together to protect these special places that we all care about, we are unstoppable, and it's been really fun to be a part of.
So 2014 was the 50th anniversary of the Wilderness Act of 1964 that you mentioned, and it was also a really big year for wilderness in New Mexico. Tell us about that.
Yeah, thanks. We had a lot of fun. So 2014 was the 50th anniversary of the passage of the Wilderness Act, and what I think a lot of folks don't recognize is that New Mexico has just this great legacy around land conservation and the wilderness protection movement. And in many ways, that ethic was formed here. So there are names that folks aren't as familiar with as they should, perhaps, but names like Edgar Lee Hewitt, who drafted what later became known as the Antiquities Act, which allows presidents to use their executive authority to sign national monuments into law, for example. Aldo Leopold is a much better known name, and he spent many of his formative years out in New Mexico and was really the father of the Gila Wilderness in southern New Mexico near Silver City, which is our largest wilderness area. And it was actually the first administratively designated wilderness in the world 90 years ago. So that's a lot to celebrate. We have folks like Senator Clinton Anderson, who is the floor manager for the Wilderness Act, and about whom it's been said that without him we wouldn't even have a Wilderness Act. And then names like authors of Edward Abbey and activists like Dave Foreman. So we just have this really rich history in New Mexico and an outsized, I think, importance, compared to our small, relatively small population base. So it's really fun to remind folks about that legacy and really, I think, to recommit ourselves to that commitment that we do have that responsibility. Now, we have had a lot of successes lately, more so than I think any other Western state, and I think in large part that is because of those coalitions that I talked about. That is not always the case where you have these people coming together. And so we have lots of envious colleagues around the West who look to us for these national model campaigns and what we've been able to accomplish. Just real quickly in the last couple of years, there's been the Rio Grande del Norte, a national monument up near Taos in the Gorge, which New Mexicans know and love. That was protected, and that was close to 250,000 acres. In May of last year, we had the Oregon Mountains Desert Peaks protected as a national monument down near Las Cruces in Doña Ana County. And that was landscape-scale protection of about 500,000 acres of some really special places. Just recently, around the holidays, the Columbine Hondo Wilderness was formally named, and that's the area that I think people know between Wheeler Peak and Lateer Peak Wildernesses up north near Taos. It's about 45,000 acres of just stunning high country that contains the headwaters of Red River and Rio Hondo. So that's a lot, and most places, no other places can really kind of brag about those successes over the last couple of years. I will say, too, that we were, because of that special role I think that New Mexico has played in the history of wilderness protection, we were selected as the conference site for the National 50th Anniversary Celebration. So that happened in October in Albuquerque, and we had over 1,100 people come from all over the country, all over the world. And I think it was the greatest concentration of wilderness advocates anywhere on the planet. And we really celebrated about the past, but really rededicated ourselves to what needs to happen next to protect the areas that are under threat and still deserving of protection. The author and historian, Doug Brinkley, I was able to pick him up from the airport, which was kind of fun. And from the podium, for his keynote address, he announced that New Mexico is the headquarters of the wilderness protection movement. So we're going to use that line as many times as we can over the next year or so to remind people about how important New Mexico has been.
We're talking to Mark Allison of the New Mexico Wilderness Alliance. What are some of the areas in New Mexico that you think still are deserving and in need of that kind of wilderness protection?
That's a great question. So in spite of all those successes I just named, we still lag the rest of the West in terms of the percentage of area that we have protected. So I think folks, including our opponents, just believe that, you know, vast stretches of our public lands are wilderness, and that's really not the case. We have about 2%, just a bit over 2% of our total land area that's protected as wilderness. So that's just a small, small slice of the land area that we have in New Mexico. And so when we look at areas that are under threat and deserving of protection, we think there are millions of acres left that really deserve that kind of permanent protection. And we look at areas that, you know, are 5,000 acres or more that are roadless. Internally, we prioritize our campaigns based on, are they under threat from logging or off-road vehicles or road building, things like that. Are they proximate to existing wilderness areas? We do think about wildlife habitat and those critical corridors. Climate change is making those kinds of considerations even more important. So what we do is we send volunteers and paid staff out into the areas and do formal inventory to really see if it makes sense. I'll just name a couple that we are looking into along with a number of our coalition partners. We are looking at Otera Mesa down south, which is the largest and wildest Chihuahuan grasslands that is under threat from oil and gas development, to find ways to work with the tribes and the ranchers and the other stakeholders in the area to see if we can protect that. We are looking at the Gila. So I mentioned that that was already our largest wilderness area, but we think that there are maybe up to 1 million acres of potential wilderness there that deserve that permanent protection. One thing that's more urgent is protecting the Gila River. People think that it's protected, and it really isn't. And so we are seeing this diversion proposal that would really compromise its wilderness characteristics and damage what is essentially the last free-flowing river in New Mexico. So we are looking into ways to designate that to be a wild and scenic river, which would permanently protect it. We are also looking at areas around the Pecos. There may be some additional acreage there that is in the Forest Service, but outside of the existing Pecos wilderness that could be protected, again, so that that's permanent. And as I said, we're a statewide group, so we have people all over. We have staff in Mora and Santa Fe and Las Cruces and Silver City and Albuquerque. We have members in every corner of the state. And so we're listening to folks and figuring out where they want to protect those places that are very special to them.
Now, are you looking at what's going on in the 2015 New Mexico legislature?
Well, we do. We pay attention to that. Now, because we work with mostly national public lands, like the Forest Service, like the Bureau of Land Management, really we're more nationally focused in that respect. So we work very closely with our federal congressional delegation to pass that legislation and to protect those areas. But there are some things that happen at the state that have serious implications for our work. And so we do spend some time up at the roundhouse talking to our state legislators. One of the issues right now that we're very concerned about are these bills that would transfer our national public lands over to the states in New Mexico. And that may sound reasonable at first blush, but it would be really disastrous in a lot of different ways. So we are working with our coalition partners, and we're making the rounds. Today we're going to have a rally with our sportsmen's friends at the Roundhouse in Santa Fe to oppose transferring millions of acres of national public lands to the state. That's actually organized by sportsmen. Please join us today at 2 o'clock at the West Concourse at the state capitol. And we're going to go lend our hand just to demonstrate that we do care about our national public lands and that they shouldn't be turned over to the state.
Why do you think it's a bad idea?
This is bad for a whole range of reasons. One, we think in our analysis that these bills would be unconstitutional. We also think that the state doesn't have the wherewithal to manage the land if it was transferred over from the federal government. We think it would take 2,000 more state employees. It would probably take over $200 million to manage a year that we do not now have. And that's not even counting for funds like fire suppression, which totaled about $80 million in 2012. Also, you know, for federal or national public lands, those are open to the public. They are ours. They are natural heritage. And we can go access them. We don't need a permit. In most instances, we don't need to pay. We can just go out and enjoy them. We can camp with our families. We can hike. We can watch birds. We can fish. State land is not like that. You are prohibited from access in a lot of ways, or you have to require, you have to get a permit, or camping might not be allowed. So it would really limit the public's access to those special areas that we have just, you know, taken for granted and that we grew up with. There's also, the state doesn't have the kind of environmental safeguards that the national public land does, so we're very concerned about our groundwater and things like that. So we're paying a close attention to those kinds of bills in Santa Fe this session.
If the state were to take over federal land like that, I mean, would they have the right to then either sell it off or make it available for mineral extraction and stuff like that?
Well, that's a great question, and they would. And so the proponents of these state lands, the transfer to the states, it's kind of a national-wide thing. You'll see this in a number of different legislative bodies throughout the West, and it's really generated by some national groups, including ALEC, which is the Legislative Exchange Council, which is this, you know, kind of bill mill that does conservative kinds of legislation. And so they will not come out and say that they're looking to sell off our public lands or privatize them. But once they were in state hands, there would be nothing that would really prevent that from happening. And there is precedent. So New Mexico has sold off some of its state-owned land in the past. And we would be very concerned that over time it would do exactly that, that the end goal would be not just to have the state manage it, but to privatize it, which would, again, it would be selling off our children's birthright and taking these places away that is very much a part of our experience here in New Mexico.
I think one of the things about wilderness that it's important to think about, I mean, we live, many of us, particularly those of us who live in cities, which is the majority of people at this point or getting there, really think of community in terms of human communities, and wildlife are kind of like backdrops and sceneries. But when you think about wilderness, that is the home of these amazing creatures, large and small. It's the home the way our, it's their home the way our houses are our homes. And to cut them up and divide them and destroy them, you're basically causing death and homelessness among many, many creatures.
That's right, and that's why we think wilderness protection is so important, that you know, without that permanent legislative protection, we are constantly on the defense. And so we have to fight back, you know, these harebrained proposals continually, like the diversion proposal for the Gila River. And the proponents of those kinds of developments only have to win one time, and then it's gone forever. And we've already destroyed many of our wilderness areas, so it's increasingly rare and increasingly special. And so we believe that it is our responsibility to protect wilderness for human recreation and for human benefit, but for the wildlife and just for the sake of wilderness itself, that we don't have the right to destroy every last remnant of wilderness, which is so integral to our country's heritage and history. And I think what a lot of New Mexicans and a lot of Americans don't realize is that it's very special that you can travel around the world and other countries don't have, for the most part, protected wilderness like we do. So it's something we really need to cherish and to celebrate and to safeguard.
Speaking of celebration, you are having a Valentine's Day celebration at Taos Mesa Brewery in the afternoon. I think it's at 1 o'clock. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it's just been fun, right, to have all these victories and to be able to celebrate all the hard work with our coalition partners that went into that. So, as you say, on February 14th, up at Taos Mesa Brewery in Taos, we're going to have a celebration for the recent designation of the Columbine Hondo Wilderness. And so there's going to be food and drinks and music, and we understand that Senators Heinrich and Udall are going to be there. We're expecting Congressman Lujan. We've invited former Senator Jeff Bingaman, and it'll just be fun. So if you're in the neighborhood or want to make a trip, please do stop by and learn a little bit more about this area if you haven't been there already, and to celebrate with us.
Mark Allison is Executive Director of the New Mexico Wilderness Alliance, and he will be in Santa Fe this coming Sunday, the 1st of February, at 11 o'clock at Collected Works Bookstore. It's part of the series sponsored by Journey Santa Fe. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Yeah, thank you so much for your interest and your time. I really appreciate it.